word that I'm thinking about. It's after life comes death. Okay. Now, when deception is preached for a long period of time, if you tell a lie long enough, to people's mind, it becomes true.
Okay. Trump is a racist.
Well, mass health.
They keep saying that all the time.
Right. Trump is a racist.
Hey, one example.
Here's a great one that they're putting all over the mass health. How many times were you hearing, if you don't wear a mask, you're an evil human being? Is that true?
No.
Now, not trying to get off chasing that rabbit too far, but what is happening there is the media and so many people are saying the same thing. They're making a lie become understood as truth.
24/7.
We're being conditioned.
All right, now in the church, from preaching, from the pulpits, being taught in seminaries, false doctrine. Okay, so that false doctrine comes into the church and starts saying things like, once prayed, always saved. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about conversion. All right? When you just say the words, pray after me, baptism is equal to salvation. That's a doctrine that's out there. Works salvation. Wealth and prosperity gospel. Okay? Paul said that there will be folks coming in speaking another gospel, which is not the gospel of Christ. It's another good news. Paul warned about that. Well, what happens after you start teaching that over 100 years?
It becomes true.
It becomes truth to their mind, but is it really true?
No.
All right, so when you stand up, somebody who has brought up their whole life that if I pray after you, I'm saved regardless of what I do, they believe that. All right? Now, when you try to tell them and bring them back to sound doctrine from that, what happens? Offended. Most of them just get offended. Absolutely. Because it is. The gospel, the real gospel of Jesus Christ is hard. Right? And it says no drunkard's going to be allowed into heaven. You know that? No sexual immoral people are going to be allowed in. We have a list of the works of the flesh in Galatians and Ephesians, and Jesus talked about it, the Beatitudes. There's a list of the works of the flesh. And if you practice these things, you have no inheritance in the kingdom of heaven.
It's the practice.
It's the practice. Amen.
It's when you grasp it.
Yep. And that's why I wanted to make sure I got that word in there, that practice. It becomes a lifestyle, right?
It's not the stumbling and falling, the path and turning.
Well, it comes from the not repenting or not even understanding it as sin, the hardening of the heart, callous believers. Well, when you have a bunch of callous believers founded in false doctrine, they will not hear sound doctrine. They won't hear the truth of God's word anymore because I believe what I believe because Dr. So-and-so told me that in seminary school. I believe what I believe because Pastor So-and-so said that from the pulpit. I believe what I believe because my uncle, my aunt, but when you get back to the scripture and you understand what the Bible says, often what happens is you say the Bible has to be wrong because Pastor so-and-so said this. If there's if I have a differing opinion than what the Word of God says, what needs to change? Absolutely. We got to change, right?
I think a lot of people, because I've done it myself, is my interpretation of what I'm reading, what they said, might be wrong. Because they said a different
way.
I'm interpreting it that way.
Yes. And so, how do you get past the interpretation of another man's opinion of the Word of God? Or anything? You got to go back to what the Bible says and just really believe what the Word of God says.
And I believe that when you ask the Holy Spirit to show you, like even if there is a difference in what you think you're reading and what you're hearing preached, if you're saying you have the Holy Spirit, God will help you discern what you're reading.
I think a big problem, what she says is very true. If you are born again, you have the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. If you don't understand something, you can pray about it, and I believe that the Lord will open up your understanding. If you ask for wisdom, God will give it to you abundantly. The problem is, most folks who go to churches in America are not truly saved. Okay, I'm not trying to cast stones or nothing like that, but they have believed false doctrine, which gave them a false sense of security. Okay, I said the prayer when I was 6 years old, although I'm still, you know, drinking, carousing, doing all the stuff I do. Well, I said the prayer so no matter what I do, I can have heroin racing through my veins, and continually doing that, I'm still saved.
You judge them by their fruits.
Right.
I mean.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, that's how you really tell false teachers, you know, and we'll get into that here in the next page when we get there. It says that the church will start going after their own lust. Is that something that we see? Their own lust, their own desire.
The church's desire?
Yeah. Well, people that call themselves Christian, that go to church, they start doing things after their own lust.
The church body.
Church body. Do you know that abortions in the church and outside the church are on the same level? Divorces in the church and outside the church are on the same level. Pornography watchers in the church and outside the church are on the same level. There's not a whole lot of difference between the two. So what's the problem?
No indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
No indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Because if you have the Holy Spirit and He's yours, He will chasten you. Yeah. Right? Those whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Now, no chastening at the moment is pleasurable. Alright? But at the end, it brings life. Yes, my brother.
I have to ask a question.
Yes.
You emphasized the word practice. Let's consider raping and murdering women.
Okay.
If somebody practices raping and murdering women, that would be the point you would determine they're not a Christian.
Good point.
It is a good point.
Can you do that once? Or is that something you got to do over and over again?
Because I shared before that this Bible distinguishes between false offenses, yes, trespasses, and transgression of the law. To rape and murder a woman is a transgression of the law. To murder somebody, thou shalt not murder.
Right.
Adultery is a transgression of the law, the literal deed. The King James doesn't speak of practicing such things. It says if you do
such things.
Amen. And molesting children, that should be something a born-again man never does, not something that he's not practicing. And I've noticed in what I call the DRVs, the Demonically Revised Versions, it uses the word practice, or if you're living in sin, well, how can you live in the sin of raping women? How many times is that? How many times is molesting children?
Yeah.
So I just throw that out.
Well, if you do it once and you repent, are you forgiven?
If you do it once, are you saved?
Amen. There you go. So you would even go in the closet if you were saved to start with.
Right.
Right.
Right. And so that's what I...
Because I went back and I wanted to make sure that word do was where you said it was. And it is.
It is.
And in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 through 21, and verse 21 says, envy, burden, drunkenness, reveries, and such alike, of which I have told you before, as I have also told you in times past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God.
Such things. It doesn't say falling short in any area.
Right.
Do such things.
If you do such things.
Wouldn't that fall into practice, though? Doing? Wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, if you... If you murder somebody without repentance, here's a good question. David, when he had... thank you. I was trying to come up with his name. Say the name again.
Bathsheba.
Not Bathsheba.
Uriah.
When he turned Uriah into a heap. Uriah heap?
Yeah.
And so anyhow, when he turned Uriah, when he had Uriah murdered, if he would have not repented of that, when the prophet came and told him the scenario of the little lamb being sold and all that kind of stuff, would have he had any security in his salvation if he had not repented of it?
David was saved 14 generations after his death.
Yeah.
Also, he wasn't. Christ, when he rose from the dead, he descended to the lower parts and preached to the spirits in prison. Okay. And so when people say King David was saved, so he was free to rape and murder.
He wasn't saved because salvation hadn't happened yet.
Right.
He was righteous because he believed.
Right. Right. In the coming, which is why when Christ rose, he descended to the lower parts. And then they were preached the gospel. And those that were hoping in the Savior,
when they saw the Savior, believed in the Savior, and thus, that's when salvation happened for the Old Testament saints, where God delivered them from the bosom of Abraham, right? Because Jesus talks about that even in his day, Lazarus and the rich man. Luke 19, or 19:16 or 16:19, I can't remember this one. But anyhow,
interrupt?
Yes.
What were the four things again? Transgressions?
1 John 3:4 in the context where it says that it says, if you, whosoever is born of God, 1 John 3:9 says, whoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he's born of God. A few verses prior explains what a sin is in that context.
Right.
Whosoever sinneth also transgresseth the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. That's 1 John 3:4.
Right.
So that's why, when you said earlier, I don't believe a Christian will rape, murder women,
or be involved in those type of things.
Yeah. What's that?
Or even be involved in those type of things.
That's right.
Those who are born again, truly filled with the Spirit of God, wouldn't even go there. Right? You, I mean, I don't believe that I would outright murder somebody. Yeah, I'm not saying that I wouldn't kill somebody if I had to. No, go ahead.
So my husband had a little problem with this. So sin is sin, though, right? Like, so I can go down to like moral sins and like
lust. Oh yeah,
no, so so the fact of we're using rape and murder, we're using really what we consider horrible things, but when I teach the children, it's sin is anything you do that displeases God. Do you say or? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it displeases God, right? It goes against his law. So I'm just having trouble with just using those big things.
Right.
What about I lied today? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what about what the Bible says of be angry and
sin not? Yeah.
Well, how can anger, although it's murder in heart, be sinning when it says be angry but don't sin?
Right.
I believe for three generations now we've been stripped of the revelation of the difference between for all have sinned and fallen short. Why a distinction?
Amen.
Lest one conceive brings forth sin, and sin when it is finished. Why is there a distinction?
Yeah.
There's sin unto death in 1 John 5:16, sin which is not unto death. You compare 1 John 5:16, the sin unto death, with 1 Corinthians 5, that man who has done this deed, not practicing it, put away from yourself that wicked person.
Mm-hmm.
If I compare that,
go ahead.
No, I was just saying, it's just like the same. In my mind, you have to, you know, if you have an affair, compared to just lusting it for what is the same.
Yes,
they're still doing the
still
same.
Doing the same thing
physically.
Yes,
what you just
I would say Psalm 51 would be a good Psalm for to find out what was going on in David's
life. Okay, read it out.
I'm going to read the whole song.
Oh, no, not all 51. We still got it. I really want to get past this.
Okay, we're going to let you do it again.
Just a thought. Because what we're talking about is the deception and how it started, and it has perverted the teaching of God's Word. Okay? The deception, it began even as the gospel began. There, even in 1 John talks about there are many antichrists that have come out from us. There are people teaching different things than what the Bible says. Even when Paul was simply bringing the gospel to the churches in Asia of his time, in Antioch and in Thessalonians and in Philippi, all those places that he brought the gospel to, There were the Judaizers coming and adding to the gospel. The deception was being planted at the same time the seed of righteousness was being planted. The gospel, the good seed, was putting out. But Satan, the evil one, was coming and equally planting false doctrine at the same time. So this is not a new thing. Alright? That's why God had this book printed. Alright? That's why we have the written word of God. Because other men's opinions are normally tainted. Right? They're tainted. I learned this from Dr. So-and-so. I learned this from Rabbi So-and-so. I learned this. But I found out a couple years ago that the majority of Christians have never read their Bible from Genesis to Revelation. You know? Have never really opened it and read it. They don't know what's in it. They don't know the patterns of God. They've never studied it. I read it once when I was forced to in Awana. You know? Right? And go ahead, sis.
But doesn't that go back to the false teachers that are in these churches that are teaching just like the Pope? Everybody thinks that he's the other version of God, and he's teaching abortion and all this stuff.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
And because they haven't read their Bibles?
Yes. Well, what's going to set you free from that deception? Starts in T and ends in O.
Yeah,
truth. Right? How are you going to know the truth?
Read your Bible.
Study.
Study. You read it, you study it, and it's okay if you don't understand it the first time or second time you go through it. You know, that's okay. You don't have to understand it. You got to read it. And as you read it, the Holy Spirit will bring to your heart understanding. You know, there's a lot of things when you go to kindergarten, right? You know, everybody remember kindergarten? First, second, third, fourth grade, whatever. Early school, pre-hard education stuff. Do you think your teacher in kindergarten would have been able to explain geometry? Right? Couldn't have done it. Right? Because the mind wasn't able to comprehend those things until you got some basic stuff done. And then after you got the basic stuff done, you can say, wow, I'm never a tree. G. Right? G, I'm a tree. And the Word of God is that way too. As you read it the first time, you may not get it. You may not understand a lot of it because you're just not spiritually awakened enough. You're not mature enough to wrap your mind around the whole concept. So read it again. Right? And you learn more the second time. You learn more the third, fourth, fifth time. I've been reading the Bible through every year for about 15 years. Okay? And you know what? It's new every time. I mean, the stories, the concepts are the same, but there's the more you read it, the deeper it becomes. It's like a carrot cake.
It changes your understanding.
Yeah.
It always will.
And it always will. Yeah. It's a living word. This is a living word. And so, but there's coming a time, Paul wrote to Timothy, that people will not read their Bibles and believe it. There's coming a time that they'll go after their own desire, their own, what they want to do. There's coming a time that they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. All right? I'm only going to preach to the crowd. I'm going to say the things that are comfortable. You know, we're going to have the big band thing. We're going to have the strobe lights, the smoke machine. We're going to paint the ceilings black. You know, and we're going to do the hoochie coo on stage and all that kind of stuff. You know, we're going to please the masses. Why? Because I want people to think nicely of me. You know, I got itching ears. Y'all can't disagree with me. Right? Why? Because I get itchy. And if you do disagree with me, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to change my doctrinal understanding to please you. Those are the teachers that will be coming in the last days. Those are the teachers that are behind 95% of the pulpits in America. Okay? And so, but God sends a delusion, 2 Thessalonians 2:11. So this delusion that's coming, actually, is...
No.
And he says, for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasures in unrighteousness. All right? So in those two verses there, for what cause? He starts out in verse 11, for this cause. What cause?
They believed in they didn't love the truth. Yeah, they didn't love the truth.
They didn't love the truth. Right? What happens if you really don't love truth? What does it mean to love truth, I guess, would be a greater question.
Love Jesus.
Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
All right.
He is the truth.
Now, when you say you love him, Jesus says, if you love me, you got to do something.
You
got to follow his commandments.
Right.
Okay? All right? And we candy coat this and say this so much. What are the two great commandments? Love the Lord your God with all strength, soul, all of you, right? Everything you are, and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay? Are you doing that?
I think we could all do better.
Amen. You know, something that Paul wrote to the church of Philippi, not as if I have apprehended, but one thing as I do is I forget those things that are behind and I press for the high calling of Christ, right? I forget those things. All right, I messed up last week. I prayed forgiveness. I forget those things. Now I'm going to push forward because there's a prize before me. I'm going to head that way. So you're right. We all can do better. All right? Now, in doing better, that is an outward showing of the appreciation of your salvation. Mm-hmm. All right? That's the love of God. So
I don't think we've ever arrived. When God says to love your neighbor, it's not like, okay, well, you go wash their car and you're done.
Yeah.
You know, you don't love them once. It's an ongoing thing. Kind of like breathing. You do it all the time.
Yes.
Every day. And so I think that for me, it's always like I'm never finished with mm-hmm. it. It's not something to attain, like a degree or whatever.
Right. Well, what if it isn't reciprocal?
Doesn't matter.
Because you're not...
It doesn't say if.
Thank you. Right? It doesn't matter if they like you back. It doesn't matter if they love you back. It doesn't matter if they acknowledge what you did. In fact, it's not about you at all. Right? It's never about us. And see, we've been taught in the church, in America, that everything is, I'll respect you if you respect me. I'll love you if you love me. I'll do for this if you'll do for me. Scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. You know? And in the world, that's the way things are. But you're not in the world anymore, right? And to come to that understanding, to keep from being deceived, you've got to do exactly what Lisa was saying. You've got to love exponentially and not ever desiring anything back. It's not about what you can do for me. Think about this, even in your own salvation, what were you able to do in that? Could you do anything to earn the God, love of God?
No.
All right, well, false teachers will tell you that you can't.
And even in turn, if you're looking for a reward,
it
says to do it in private, and I'll
open you, reward you openly
to my Father in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Our reward should be looking for the benefits of heaven.
Right. And so to have that,
Michael.
Well, I did.
Yeah.
He says, do these things in secret, then your Father in heaven will see, and he'll reward you openly. Often we only do things because of bad doctrinal teaching. We do things openly that the world can see your good works.
So he's talking about rewarding you here on earth or in the kingdom?
Yes.
Or both?
Yeah, I'll just say yes to that. Yeah, it's both. And so you will have a reward there. But for the cause, because of this cause, and if you look before that, he's talking about the wickedness that's going to be revealed. All of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is talking about this wicked one. The mystery of iniquity, verse 7, is already at work. Only he who now letteth will that until he be taken out of the way. We're not going to get into that just yet. That's later on. And then that wicked will be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now, that's what the cause is. All right, and for this cause. Not because the wicked one's coming. That's not what the cause is. The cause is they did not receive the love of the truth. They wouldn't stand for sound doctrine. All right, they were being led around by their own lusts. They were heeding teachers that only agreed with them. And teachers were only going to those who would agree with them. They were afraid to go against the grain because of the word of God. They were afraid to say that if you do this one time, you may not be saved. All right? If you do this thing, there stands a real good chance that you don't have an understanding of who God is, the holiness of God. Now, after you have been born again, and you stumble, because how many here have stumbled this week? All right? I've had bad thoughts. All right? Does that mean I lost my salvation? No. Now, if I lived in that stumbling, hid it, didn't confess it, didn't repent from it, didn't walk into the righteousness of God, would I have any security in my salvation? I mean, I wouldn't know for sure if I was saved or not. Right? Because I know what the Word of God says, is if I do this, right? If I do this, then I have no inheritance in the kingdom of God.
Are you saying you could lose your salvation?
When does God take away your free will?
Never.
Okay, so you accept the Lord as your Savior, right? And then later in your life, something happens. And they say, I no longer want to be led by the Spirit of God, and you willingly walk away. Will God honor you in that decision?
Yes. But
so did you lose your salvation?
But what I'm saying is, let's say, okay, I've been saved since I was a kid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's true. But let's say I decided that I was going to have an affair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I had an affair for
20 years. Hmm. That's a long time.
You're excited.
Who's got that kind of time? So let's say I have an affair for 6 weeks, right? And I end the affair, and I confess, and I repent, and then I stumble again, and I go into that. Now, let's say I die. Okay, before I repent or confess or anything, I still have my salvation. However, God will judge me according to my sins.
The word stumble isn't in the Bible.
Okay.
That's a dumbed down
word
right, that fools us.
So
adultery is a wicked abomination. That's what we should call it. We should call it a mistake, because I make mistakes sometimes. I get off at a wrong exit.
Right.
That's a mistake. But
that's not a sin.
There's right. So why call a sin a mistake? That's preparing us.
Let's take this back to 1 John 3. I'm going to take it with verse 8 and 9. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, and that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God.
Okay.
Are we stumbling?
There's also another term for quenching the spirit.
Okay.
Now, a born again can do that.
Yes.
And when you're constantly stumbling, not sinning, stumbling, maybe it's looking to lust, maybe it's anger, maybe it's gluttony. Every time you quench the spirit, which is in you, you can't quench the spirit if you're not born again. There's nothing to quench, because it's the Spirit of God in you. Yes, you lose the security of your salvation because you've lost intimacy with him and he's not assuring you you're saved. Says you quenched him.
Came down is, can you lose your salvation? Okay. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, if you add to or take away from the writings of the prophecy of this book, I'll scratch your name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. Can you lose your salvation? Can you turn apostate? Now, I'm not talking about sinning, getting caught up in a thing one time or a dozen times or whatever, and you continually confess. Peter asked Jesus of John or of somebody, if you sin against me seven times, right? Mm-hmm. And forgive him. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Trespass,
thank you. If he trespass, all right, trespass. If you trespass the law of God seven times and you ask forgiveness, will you be forgiven?
No. He says, how many times shall I forgive his trespasses?
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Okay. So how many times will God forgive you your trespasses?
Infinity.
Hey, go ahead. This is a great conversation. Okay. We need to hammer these things out.
It says if he trespass against you, not transgress the commandment of God.
Right.
So you're not, I'm not God, you're not God. So that's a different level. How many times shall he trespass against me? 70 times 7. Again, some people say it's extreme to bring rape and murder into it, but I do it for a very specific reason. Because nowhere will you see in the Bible it says sin is sin, or all sins the same in God's eyes. I contend that's a doctrine of demons.
Okay.
I just throw that out there.
Oh, and actually it says if you've committed one, you're guilty of them all. Mm-hmm. So if you've lied to me, you're guilty of rape and
murder.
So I can see some things that we've been taught, right? That you can never walk away from your salvation.
There's a difference between walking away and losing, okay?
Right.
Walking away is a purposeful decision.
Yes.
Okay? There's a decision to throw my keys in the river, and then there's, I lost my keys.
Thank you. Very good.
Okay, so if I say to God, I no longer want to be a child of God, I'm turning my back on you, I'm turning away from Jesus, that is rejection of Christ.
Yes.
And that is different than losing my
soul. That's apostate. There's a word for that. That's
so my question goes back to,
yes,
are you saying that you can lose your salvation? You can't lose your salvation.
You can't lose it. You can abandon it, but you can't lose it.
You can be outside of God's will.
Mm-hmm.
You can be living in sin.
Yeah.
You can be backslid, to use another term.
In heart.
Right.
In heart. Yeah.
Right. So there are all these other things, but you still have your salvation.
Right.
So you could be, we all know people who were saved and lived in the church and, you could really see their fruits, and then for whatever reason, something happened and they walked away.
Right.
They still have their salvation. However, God will judge them according to the life that they live.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're going back to where the person's saying the prayer and then living whatever they want, any way they want to live.
But there's a difference between saying the prayer, right, and I just say it, and really applying it to your heart.
I think it's true repentance.
Yeah,
correct.
True repentance is the work. And you'll never be the same once that happens.
Right, because a lot of 6-year-olds say the prayer. A lot of 20-year-olds say the prayer. But did they really take it to heart? Did they really accept Jesus into their heart? Did they make attempts
to
change?
We need to bring that back just a little bit. It's not what I do. Did God really call me? Because you're not saved unless you're called by God. Right? All right, we all can agree on that, thank God. And now, because there's a lot of people who confess that have never been called. There's a lot of preachers that preach that have never been called to the pulpit, right? They do it for filthy lucre, or they do it for one thing or another. So the difference between true salvation and confession is really what the Holy Spirit does in you. And when the Holy Spirit does something in you, there is a conversion that happens. And when you're converted, 1 John says, because you have the Spirit of God in you, you cannot sin. We're not preaching or teaching conversion enough. all right, from the pulpits. A lot of people get into this idea, I said it, I acted, and so I'm there. Go ahead.
So what you said a while ago, though, was if you had to kill somebody for self-defense, that's not the same as murder.
No, it's not.
So that wouldn't actually be a sin, right?
No.
No.
Are you saying
why is that different? Oh, okay. Murder is I know that you're coming up at a certain time and I have something against you and I'm going to make my vengeance pour out on you and take your life. So I plan it. I'm driving down the road, right, and my tire goes flat and I run into a crowd and I kill somebody. Or I'm in war, I'm in a battle. I'm defending a child or a woman and I stand up for her and I kill the assaulter. That's not considered murder. Okay, murder is different. Thou shalt not murder. The King James says, thou shalt not kill. But God told Israel to go into where the giants of the land were and to kill everything that breathed breath. God would not command you to sin.
Right.
All right? God would never send you somewhere and say, sin. Go ahead.
A couple other scriptures is it says, he quickeneth our mortal flesh.
Yes.
Christ in us empowers. And that may take years to realize because you have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, for it's Him that works in us to do and the will to do for His good pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And then another scripture says, as many as received Him gave He power.
Power. So there you go.
Now the DRVs change that, said He gave you the right.
Yes.
To be,
you don't have the right. See, where's the power come from?
Christ.
It comes from the indwelling.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, if I go, I'm going to send the Comforter, and we will make our abode in you. And when that happens, supernaturally, there's some things that change, all right? All of a sudden, the things that I used to do, that I found as fun, drinking, whore hopping, all that kind of stuff, all of a sudden become less, it makes me sick. There's this heart-wrenching thing when I knowingly sin against the Word of God. Before I was born again, I could do that without any consequence. It just was natural. Even if you're going to church on Sunday, getting drunk on Monday, right? And that was your theme, right? And our, Wednesday and going home and kicking the cat and beating the wife up, that type of thing. Then you need to really check, did you really accept Jesus? Did you allow Him to convert you? Did He send His Spirit into you to change you? Because there's a confession without salvation. There's a repentance without changing.
But the heart of it, if you read 1 Corinthians 5, is what a wonderful thing it is to recognize you're not saved.
Yes.
So you can be.
Absolutely.
In this life, before you get to the white throne judgment. Sorry.
And so, and again, it comes back for this cause. For what cause? Because they did not love the truth. All right? I said a convenient prayer, right? And nothing changed in my life. Now I think I'm saved. Jesus said, on that day, many will say unto me, this is Matthew 7:20-something, on that day, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. And Jesus said, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall be accepted into the kingdom of heaven. But he who doeth my Father's will. For many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied, which means preach? Have we not foretold? Have we not proclaimed the word of God? Done many great works, right? Done many great works. And he says, go away from me. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. Mm-hmm. What is a worker of iniquity? Well, we're talking about salvation. Right? And if Jesus is going to say, now these people that came to Him,
purposely sinned.
Yeah. They thought they were saved. Right? They were on that day of judgment, and they thought that they were saved. They said, Lord, Lord, look at what we've done. We said the prayer, we went to church, we paid our tithe, we did all this stuff. Go away from me, you workers of iniquity.
Well,
they thought they were saved, but they really weren't.
Going through the motions.
Going through the motions. Now I got two hands at the same time. Caution. Ladies first.
What's his name? Just raise your hand.
Alan.
Alan. So Alan, after our lesson last week, brought You showed me some verses here. I'm gonna bring them up real quick. Mm-hmm. If we look at Hebrews chapter 6,
yes,
verses mm-hmm. 4 through 6, is that relating to what we are talking about right here, right now?
Keep flying by Hebrews, my paper. 4 through 6. Okay, let's go 6-4. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and tasted the heavenly gift and were partakers, or made partakers of the Holy Ghost.
Is that talking about saved people right there?
How do you become a partaker of the Holy Ghost?
You must be born again.
Yeah.
Okay, because you cannot have the Holy Ghost without
right.
being a
partaker.
So
we're talking about
born-again Christians, right? Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. All right, there's a couple other things. Tasted the good word of God. What does that mean?
Been in fellowship.
Understood the teaching of God's word. Tasted it. No, you tried it and found out that it's good. All right, this isn't bitter, this is sweet. This isn't bad, this is good. This isn't death, this is life. You tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. All right, the world to come is talking about salvation, heaven, eternal blissness with the Father, right? The world's to come. They shall fall away. How does one fall away after tasted, after knowing the will of God, after being filled with the Holy Spirit? How does one fall away from that?
Finding something more desirous for the time being.
Apostate.
How did Eve or Adam
mm-hmm.
fall away?
That's another good point. How many laws did Adam and Eve break?
One.
And what was their end result?
Death.
Which casts to all creation. That's wild. Just breaking one law. Cast all.
Because this isn't talking about saying, well, you know what, I've read the Bible. This was all fun and games, but I don't believe in it anymore. This is falling away. How do you fall away?
You had to bend there.
Well, you couldn't fall away from something you were never in. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you fall away, to return them again to repentance, seeing that they crucify themselves, they crucify themselves, the Son of God, afresh. And put him to an open shame. What's that say?
It says that
talk about false doctrine.
We don't hang Christ on the cross the second time. Like Moses didn't smite the rock twice.
Twice, yeah.
He was supposed to speak to it once.
Right. And there's a good example right there. Moses wasn't allowed into the promised land, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why? How many laws did he break? It wasn't about murdering and burying the Egyptian in the sand and all that kind of stuff. What was he supposed to say? You said it. You had the account correct.
He wasn't supposed to smite.
He was told the first time he said, God said, strike the rock and the water will come. He stroked the rock and the water came. The people grumbled again a while later. They're thirsty. And Moses, because he was angry being led by his flesh, God said, speak to the rock, and I'll let the water come out. And instead of speaking to the rock, he smote the rock. And because he smote the rock, due to the hardness of his heart, he wasn't allowed in.
It seems like the preaching of the false churches that God forgives all sins, meaning all types of sin, past, present, and future.
Yeah.
That's a diabolical opposition to what's said here in Hebrews 10:26. For if we sin willfully, that's why it's important.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if it's overeating, I'm done.
Yes.
If it's getting angry, I'm done. I'm finished. I was finished 41 years ago. after having received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. That's a powerful statement, and that I went through the terror of reading that, thinking I am going to hell. I am so hellbound, I don't have a chance. Crying, weeping, sobbing, until I began to understand the difference. That's why I hold to this sin's a transgression of the law. You get angry at someone, does that mean you're going to hell because anger is sin? if you look to lust once or twice or 10 times, are you doing it? So that's, I guess, what we're trying to work out here,
yeah.
But that's where I...
And see, for so many years in America, we've been taught if you confess Jesus Christ and all you got to do is say it with your mouth, you confess. Now again, we got Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10, right? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in your heart, you will be saved, or you shall be saved. So you have that word, but again, in Romans chapter 10, you can't just take those two verses. You've got to take the whole of Romans 10 to get the concept of what he was saying. Often we take those two and we try to lead people to salvation through those two verses. Because if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be saved, right? And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. What does it mean? Is confession just saying something?
Can't just mouth the words.
Can't just mouth the words. Okay? Does believing... What does it entail to truly believe something?
Well, when you believe something, your actions,
yes,
shows that fruit again.
Yeah.
If I believe it's going to start raining in 2 seconds, I'm going to walk outside, I'm probably going to get an umbrella or do something.
Yes. Don't put on your galoshes. Right? So, yeah, my brother.
So as great as Moses was,
he wasn't great.
Knowing what God told him not to do,
yeah.
Do you think if he had asked for forgiveness and repented, he would have got to see the kingdom instead of not?
Well, he did see the kingdom. He just wasn't able to go into the kingdom.
Well, I'm talking about getting to go there. I mean, it ain't going to do no good just to see it, right? Unless you get to go there.
Good question. If he would have. If is a huge word, right? If he would have. Right? He had a direct word from God not to, to do something. And do you understand when God said that he wouldn't be allowed into the promised land because of what he did? Do you understand the reason behind that? There's a pattern he was supposed to be showing to the people of Israel. And Moses broke the pattern. How many times was Christ smitten?
Once.
Once. He wasn't smitten twice. Okay?
It's obedience to the Lord.
It's obedience to the Lord. Now, he didn't sacrifice his salvation, right? And we know that because he was seen on the Mount of Transfiguration.
So, do we look at that more as because he disobeyed, there are consequences when we disobey?
Bingo. Yes.
Right?
There are consequences.
So the consequences to that was that he didn't get to enter into the promised land.
Right.
So when we disobey, there are consequences to our decisions.
Decisions, yes.
And oftentimes we suffer the repercussions here for the disobedience that we have committed.
Over there.
Doesn't mean that we're not going to enter into heaven. I mean, we're
now, is there,
but I mean, I guess...
Again, is there a difference between... disobeying and open rebellion?
I don't think so. One thing, because this is a pretty heavy conversation.
This is tough stuff.
Well, okay. So, disobeying.
It's a choice.
It's a choice, but I see them differently. A child, and I'll use children because we are children of God. Children may disobey their parents, but there's a huge difference between open rebellion. If you tell them not to get into the ice cream and they have a small bowl of ice cream, they disobey. But if they ate the entire half gallon, that is...
Jesus put it this way, because I like to go back to Scripture. He told a parable about this very same thing. Two sons belonging to the same father, he told both of them, to go into the field and do a work.
Mm-hmm.
One of them said, "You got it, Dad, I'm on the way," and he never goes. And then the other one says, "No, I'm not going to do it." But then after a while, he thinks about it, and he goes.
Mm-hmm.
Which one was obedient?
The first one.
The first one said, I'm going, and didn't.
Oh.
All right, he spoke it, but he didn't do it. All right, the second one said, I'm not going to do it, but he did it.
Mm-hmm.
So the second one was the obedient one. See, it's more about what you do than what you say. Your actions speak louder than your
words. So we can bring that right into salvation. Mm-hmm. I said the prayer. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven.
Which is a false doctrine. I believe that's a false doctrine that has been taught for 100 years in America. That if you repeat after me, you don't have a problem in the world.
If you believe, you've changed. That's the difference, I think. If you say the prayer and you believe it,
yes,
it's the ABCs. You have to admit, believe, confess. Okay? You have to believe it. Not just say it.
And believing it, like Asha said, requires obedience to it. Because you can believe that it's 55 miles an hour, but if you fly by the sign at 120, you really didn't believe it. Mm-hmm. Right? Until the cop comes by. Mark had his hand up first.
I'm trying to maybe relate this to a real-world example. And
yes.
The rabbit trail stopped me. And there was a gentleman at Open Door that you knew that was very devout, very much a family man, very active, a wonderful gentleman, wonderful family. He headed up the entire vacation Bible school every summer, did a wonderful job. He worked at Kodak, traveled internationally for Kodak, met a woman in Taiwan or Philippines, and one day he vanished.
Mm-hmm.
And ran off with her, left his wife and kids behind. What about him? I mean, we can't know his heart. Is it likely, was he saved? Did he just fall?
Well, what's the Bible say about that? You can confess, right? Lord,
let's just look at, now I watch the heads all, Bob, so they know.
Right, yeah.
Okay? Is he speaking for Christ today in that conversation?
No, no, he's in the Philippines.
No, he's not. He's not in America.
No.
Oh, is he? Okay.
I mean, he ran away with the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was a great teacher of Christ. Really? Christ followers run off with women? They abandon their families?
Well, again, what did Jesus
That's
say?
That's what the Christians are all alike. Every one of them are liars.
When John said they were not of us?
Yes. So they went out from us.
They were not of us. Maybe he never was.
True.
Yeah. And because he had... Just because he spoke Christ, and he did some cool work, don't get me wrong.
He was a deacon.
I loved that family.
That's in the whole area.
Yeah.
Love him.
Right? And still do. I mean, I'm not God. He'll never have to answer to me. All right? Yes, my sister.
Maybe it's a daily decision to align yourself with God's laws. Yes. Like daily. You have to decide that his laws, this is his standard, and every day I'm going to live according to that.
That's what Scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
It says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling.
Every day.
Every day.
Okay, so when I decide to find something better,
we say no.
Because there isn't anything better.
Right.
Even if it appears bad for you, and God says it's good for you, what is it?
Good for you.
Right? Even if it tastes bad. All right? This is medicine. It tastes bad. I'm talking a lot about birch bark and stuff like that. Have you ever bit a birch tree?
No.
All right? Have
not
you
lately.
Ever?
Not yet.
Not lately.
Not for bite of birch.
Have you ever pulled the bark and just chew on it? It is earwax. It's
We used to drink birch beer. Though.
Yeah.
Birch beer.
That's just a soda.
Yeah. Birch
beer. No, it's not a beer. It's a soda.
It's like root beer. Yeah.
Yeah, and you can still buy it in Benin.
Go ahead.
When somebody does something wrong in this world, is it possible that God is chastening that person so that they're corrected in this world, so that they're, let's say, prepared for going into the next?
He's always chastening those whom he loves, all right? Satan sets out snares for us, all right? He does. Satan goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, all right? Right? Now, if you already belong to him, those traps really aren't for you because you already belong to him. But if you've been born again, if you confess Jesus Christ, if you made that conversion, then Satan has these traps set out for you. Not just to hurt you, but to hurt everybody who believed Christ because of your testimony before you fell.
Okay.
This guy that we were talking about there, think of how many people that believed him and how their faith dropped because of him.
Mm-hmm.
Pastors the same way. Yeah, somebody raised their hand over there. Yes.
Because this is such an intense conversation,
yes,
that some may have never even heard, it's very important to understand this is if after having received the
yes.
truth. In other words, you may be, we may be coming to a truth that some people here have never
heard. Yeah.
And it's after that we say, you know what, I know I can be empowered over sin, but I don't want to be. I want my sin. And so that's important to understand, that it's after having received this knowledge, not been told it.
Right.
Because you may have been told it 1,000 times, 20, 30 years, or you may be under false teaching like you're exposing. So it's...
And how frightening that man that we're talking about, how frightening could it be that he just felt it was okay because he couldn't move his salvation?
Oh,
yeah,
that's true.
That's
exactly
what
I'm
thinking.
Yeah.
Like, this is sad stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. You're right. Because if you would ask him, right, he would say, I cannot lose my salvation because the teaching that I've been taught, no matter what, I can have an affair on my life, leave my family, and I can walk out into the woods. And so, and never lose my salvation. Nope, the other one. And so, and whose standard, I heard lowering standards, whose standard are we concerned with?
God's.
Yes.
So do we know?
Yeah, oh, all right, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
She raised her hand, so I'll have to go.
So, but, that's a big word, but God.
Yeah.
So he made the decision, he devastated the church.
Yeah. His family.
His family, everything.
Yes.
Okay, so he may have his salvation, but he is out of God's will.
Yeah.
And that is a very dangerous place to be. And God will chasten him.
Mm-hmm.
And will continue to chasten him until he is not only repentant, but he needs to atone for that sin.
Mm-hmm.
He needs to go to those he has wronged and apologize.
Again,
and that is true repentance.
Yes.
There's no returning.
No.
You don't see him returning.
Right.
So that's,
but she probably wouldn't take him back anyway.
It's not. How about returning just in Christ? Let's go to the parable that Jesus taught about the one who took his inheritance and went to the land. All right? The father, give me my inheritance.
Yes.
Okay? Give me my salvation. Give me all the things that you're going to give me. And he took all of his wealth, and he went to a foreign land, Philippines, right? He went, and he lost everything that God had given him. He's still a child of the Son, or a child of the Father. Now, if he would have died in the pig pen before he came back, what does that entail in your mind as far as eternal salvation?
That's up to God.
That's up to God. All right? Now, we don't have that end of the story because Jesus was trying to show a point that if at any time you come back, even if you take the riches of God and you go and waste them in the world and you repent and you come back, there's still a chance for forgiveness.
He came to himself.
I don't know your name. I'm sorry. She had something to say.
Of course, and even...
I was saying, do we know the standard of God? Like, if we...
Yes.
Do we know, like, we...
Right here.
Mm-hmm.
This is why God gave us His Word.
I understand it. I don't know if I'm asking. Okay. And so my second question is, while I can open my mouth, if he does come back and repents to his wife, should his wife forgive him and take him back because she's following what God says?
Ooh, there's a big thorn.
She's remarried, right?
What's that?
She's remarried.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't just ask.
But any scenario. forgive him and forget? Forgive, yes. I can forgive somebody who does me wrong. Can I forget what they have done and take them back? That is something that the Holy Spirit would have to do in you. All right? In and of myself, I would have a real hard time doing it because Jesus said that particular sin, that adultery thing, is such a deep-hearted, mm-hmm. I mean, it hurts so deeply. Mm-hmm. You know, it rips the very foundation. That's one of the reasons that you can have a divorce. There's only two reasons in the Bible that you can have a divorce. One is adultery, the other is the unbeliever leaves. All right? So if you're married to somebody who doesn't believe Jesus Christ and they leave, you cannot lock them in the basement and make them stay. All right? That's against the law. Shucks. So, but you see, I hope that answered that. You know? And so, because there are some times that, yeah, no, I'm not going to go there again. All right? You tore my foundation, my fabric of that relationship.
Yeah. So forgiveness is separate from the relationship.
Yes, absolutely. You did that.
Forgiveness is for yourself.
Yes, forgiveness.
Took me almost 40 years to forgive my father for things.
The gentleman.
I didn't realize that. It was like hitting one day. Jeez. You start talking about the number again.
Yeah,
I'm the one dwelling on it.
Right.
Until I forgave him. Once I did that, it was just like off my shoulder.
Yes, praise God. That's a great testimony. My testimony is much like that. Nancy has a question. I'll get right to you.
Yeah, I was just going to say the gentleman who was at fault. Let's say he does want to go back. She doesn't accept him. Where does he stand? Can he remarry? Or does he have to stay where he is
it's assumed he's an unbeliever.
It's assumed he's an unbeliever.
Right? Right.
And so the dog can mate with as many dogs as they want to. They're dogs. Right? Right. We're not. Dogs, you know, they just run around and have poodle fest.
What we're talking about here,
yes.
I think 1 Timothy 4,
or, yeah,
14 through 1 Timothy 5 covers,
yes,
all this that we're talking about.
Absolutely it does.
Yeah.
And so, but still, we're coming back to the false doctrine that we've been taught. So if you want to go to 2 Timothy, or 1 Timothy, over into 2 Timothy.
So, I think 1 Timothy 4:14 through 1 Timothy chapter 5, the whole chapter covers.
14
through the whole chapter 5, 1 Timothy.
Right. Now, even as you're reading that portion of Scripture, you know why we're doing this? To weed out false doctrine. Because we've been taught something for 100 years that's not necessarily true. Alright? We have believed something for 100 years that's not necessarily the truth.
That's why I'm asking, do we know the truth? Because why are we believing things that are false? That's why I don't want to. Like, if we have it, why are people saying false?
Because they're not reading it.
Because they say it so long, they think it became.
Yes.
But they feel like they are reading it, interpreting it wrong. No? You don't
believe
that?
Well, you can take a piece of Scripture and you can make a whole doctrine out of it.
Right.
That's why you've got to read it from Genesis through Revelation to get the whole picture. If I were to write a love note, or somebody that you love, your kid, your children, write you a note, right? And it's a deep, heart-filling note, and they send it to you, would you just read the middle sentence? You'd read the whole thing until you wear out that note.
Mm-hmm.
This is God's love to humankind.
Mm-hmm.
We got to read the whole thing.
What I think Tammy's trying to say,
okay,
and stop me if I'm wrong, is we've got all these believers at this table, and
yeah,
why are we having so many questions if all of us have been reading the same Word of God? Tammy's like, why are we having some interpreting
right?
this way,
yes,
and some interpreting
yeah.
it that way?
Well, the reason that we're doing it is we're believing what people have taught us more than what we read ourselves. And I can go into any story with my own thought and apply my ideology into anything and make it say what it says. That's why when God laid on my heart to start the work, the church, Charity Bible, the first thing he told me is I need to bring, in my construction mind, a bulldozer on the edge of the foundation of the church and scrape all the stuff I'd ever been taught off and read the Bible with an empty mind to allow God to fill it back up. Paul, when he got born again, when he got saved on the road to Damascus, he went 3 years on the backside of Arabia, right, into the wilderness, and he reread the scripture. He reread the scripture with the ideal of Jesus Christ instead of the religion of the Hebrews. All right? And God changed everything he had ever knew about the Word of God, because if you start with the wrong beginning, mm-hmm. you will always end up with the wrong outcome. Right? And often we're having our understanding about God's Word on a false premise. Right? And go ahead.
Back to your point, sir. Let us not forget that we're in the midst of war.
Yes.
And what's going on around us is a warfare in a spiritual dimension that we cannot see. So the church has been under war, and it is an historical fact. The more aware the church has been that they were under a war, the more vigilant they were, and the purer and sounder was their doctrine. So there, Satan is called the father of lies, right? That's what we call a murderer from the beginning, and he's the father of lies. And Jesus said in Matthew 24 and mm-hmm. Luke 13, Mark 13 and Luke 21, when disciples asked him, "What is the sign of your return?" Which I think we're very short for this right now. These things are moving like exponentially in society and all around the world at this point. So they asked him the sign of his coming. The first thing that Jesus said was, "Be not deceived." Mm-hmm. So what we're under here is a cloak of deception that goes very deep. And this is amongst the church, the alleged believers and the believers. There's just a lot going on right now. And Satan, mm-hmm. I believe.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of satanic stuff taking place. I mean, when have we ever seen men not going with their man or woman? Yeah. I mean, look around at what's happening. Everything, the foundations of society are falling apart right now.
Mm-hmm.
Is this any wonder? What fell apart first? The church fell apart first. Mm-hmm. So we are in a spiritual warfare. We can't see that dimension, but Mike said that, and then when I preached that night, mm-hmm. this book is a book of war.
Right.
Principally.
Yeah.
It's a war of dimensions. God is telling you, Danny, that you're in the middle of a war right now. There's things going on around you, and you and none of us can see it, but it's there. And we're getting assaulted from every angle, whether we realize it or not.
Well, even growing up in the church.
Yeah.
There's words being used here that would have never been spoken in the church when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
To hear somebody say something about rape, molestation in the church, are you kidding me?
Right.
You were gone. Yeah.
And this is where we are.
Yeah.
I mean, we're right here, right now. This stuff can't be avoided anymore. You can't turn away from yourself.
I know a lady who was sent from the church because she divorced her husband, who was known to be gay at the time. And I was a kid, I didn't understand.
Right.
Okay.
He thought it was just
but the church said, "No, you divorced your husband, you're gone." And the wrong spot for as far as I'm concerned for the church to be in.
Yeah.
But
go ahead, yeah.
So the other issue that I'm having is that I want to teach my children about God, but if I don't have the rights, I'm going to either pass on, I want to pass on the right thing. But I can only pass on what I know. So if we're all passing on what we think we know, we may be, and that's what I don't want to do. So
right. Amen. You're in a great spot. You're in a great spot. One is you want to know the truth, and you want to pass truth, unperverted truth,
right.
forward. See, we have heard a form of truth for 100 years in America, but it has been a perverted. When Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, did he not use scripture?
Mm-hmm.
He used scripture correctly, but perverted.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
He twisted the words. And that's what they're doing in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Tammy, I know this is all very new to you, okay? And there's a lot of us have come from different churches and backgrounds. And mm-hmm. so, you know, this is actually good that things are coming out and we're questioning things now so that we do get to exactly what the Bible and mm-hmm. so, you know, I don't want this to, to be...
It doesn't. It's not... To be, I've been studying
right.
for a long time
so,
with different groups, so
mm-hmm.
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, and I've been going to church since I was born, so
right.
I... this is not new.
Yeah. It's not
just,
new. But looking at it with clear eyes
right.
is a different thing.
You think you have the truth, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't really like it. Why not?
One scripture that would answer your question also is...
I don't want to twist it. That's
no prophecy.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah. No prophecy?
No prophecy of scripture is of any private
right.
interpretation. The problem is interpretation.
You
because we're bringing our own soul's biases into it.
Right.
And we're everybody's putting their own spin
their
on
their own
twist. And I believe what I'm seeing is that he's bringing it back to it is written, and it is written, and it is written.
And God
and written.
Said, and God cried.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And getting the twist out of it.
Right.
And trying, anybody here ever have a 100-foot extension cord thrown up in the back of a truck for a long time? You ever try to untwist that thing? It takes some while. Right? And that's what this is going to take us some while.
Galatians 6:7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So when we talk about salvation, we talk about the fruit, the works,
mm-hmm.
having it in your heart. That would be the soweth.
Yeah.
If you see somebody who is truly saved, you will know it. And they will have a great harvest.
Yeah.
But I always told my kids, do not be deceived. God will not be mocked. So you can lie, you can deceive yourself, you can go sin, you can do whatever you want, but God knows.
Right. I like that scripture right there. I'm sorry, Nancy, I'll get right to you. Those folks who come to church on Sunday look all good, right? Wednesday night, they look all good. They do read their Bible. They are praying, right? But it's only a show. Right? It's only a show. They know all the, I call it Christianese. It's kind of like Chinese for Christian folks.
Mm-hmm.
I know, I went to Awana, I memorized the scripture,
mm-hmm.
but I only memorized this scripture. I didn't memorize what was above or below it. And I set my understanding on this small 15 words, right? And that's all I ever understood. I memorized that. I know right where it is. It's blue marked in my Bible. But I don't know what it said before that. I don't know the context of it. I don't know what the whole conversation was. Like, you can take what we've talked about and pull a paragraph out of this whole conversation and make something beautiful seem very dirty. Mm-hmm. Pastor said that you can lose your salvation. Right? I did. You know? You can walk away from something that God has, because you have a free will. You can. You can think that you're saved and not be saved. You can really have that thought that you are born again. You have the thought. But Jesus said, you who work iniquity. See, we're not taught that.
What
in
is
the
iniquity
back.
Again?
Iniquity is sin. You who work sin, you who work, break the laws of God. That's Matthew chapter 7, I think it's verse 22, 23, somewhere around.
It's a word for sin?
Yeah, iniquity. If a man holds iniquity in his heart, God will not hear his prayer. Psalms. Yeah, again, that's a big churchy word, iniquity, sin, you know? Yeah, go ahead.
Does that mean that every time you sin, and we all sin every day,
mm-hmm.
that God doesn't hear our prayers at that moment until we...
If you harbor iniquity in your heart. You know what harbor means? Like in a boat, right? You pull into a harbor, what do you do? You anchor up next to it.
You love it.
You love it. Oh, yeah. It's just, yeah. You know? And so,
love that chocolate cake.
I want two slugs here.
Go ahead, sis.
I just wanted to say something in response to what she was talking about, because I used to go on a lot of Bible studies and I had major problems trying to understand what was going on with the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people had different Bibles. They didn't have the King James. That was one of the problems. But another thing that I have grown with this group is learning how to compare
scripture
different verses with different verses.
different books because one will back up the other. That's your strength in reading Bible, and that's how I learn. I'm still growing.
And so, sola scriptura, scripture alone. I plan on doing a series here pretty soon, the five solos of the Puritan Church. All right, that means alone, Christ alone, sola biblica, the Bible alone, sola scriptura, the scriptures alone. Right, and anything else needs to be brought out of your mind, out of your belief system. And it's harder to unlearn something than it is to learn it. And see, remember, for 100 years, at least 100 years in America, we have been taught a watered-down gospel. All right? Instead of taking the fullness of the Word of God, we've watered it, we've boiled it until it's... Anybody here eat spinach?
No.
All right? All right. Well, anything, all right, you boil spinach the first time, you eat it, it's still kind of good. But that other spinach that you boil again and again and again, it loses something, unless you got pig fat in it. Then it gains something. You can water down something until it's absolutely no good. You know? You can take your medicine and water it down until it's absolutely no good. We, for 100 years in America, have taken the Word of God and watered it down and watered it down and broke it to pieces and made different translations and twisted it and turned it and tried to get back to just what the Bible says. When will these things be, the disciples asked? What is the sign of your coming? When is the end of the age? Those are the three questions that we're looking into. But see, before we can start into those questions, even answering those questions, we've got to understand that there's a deception. Because the first thing Jesus says is, don't be deceived. Trying to untangle the bird's nest of deception in America, even in this group. And I'm not saying that I know it all. I don't know it all. But until I read the Bible without a prejudice, okay, of something I was taught, I believe this because Pastor so-and-so, I believe this because this one, I believe this because I read it in a textbook somewhere, it's still taking the Word of God outside of the context of God and interpreting it privately, like you said. The Scripture is never meant for private interpretation. Read it for what it says, not for what I believe it says.
Okay?
What I want it to say. Because you can read it with what you want it to say, and it will say what you want.
For yourself and others.
Yeah.
Because loved ones, you may want to slip into the kingdom when
they're not
in the kingdom.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. And so yeah.
So I would just want to say that there is, like the two thieves on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
The one thief looked over at Jesus and mocked him, right? You know, and the other one looked at him and said, Lord, remember me when thou hast come into thy kingdom. It was capital L. He realized Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God that died for the sins of the world. And Jesus looked back at him and what did he say?
I will remember.
Today,
yeah.
You will join me in paradise. Yeah. So there is, there is a simplicity of the gospel in the Bible. And, you know, Jesus told Nicodemus, ye must be born again. So, I don't want any of us can get caught up in this religiosity, mm-hmm. you know, and dogmas and all. And it loses the simplicity of the gospel is lost in that. So where are we? I mean, somebody who hears the gospel once and doesn't quite grasp or understand he's not a theologian and hasn't studied and hasn't gone to divinity school and so forth. Is he saved? He is saved.
Yeah.
He's born again.
Yeah. I've never been to
We can't lose that. We can't lose the fact that there is a simplicity of the gospel.
Yeah.
Right? He must be born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. And that was a religious leader. That was somebody who came out of divinity school. You went into the deep things of God. And Jesus Christ looks back at him and said, ye must be born again. How are you born again? By faith and trust and belief in Jesus Christ, knowing who he was, and having faith in that and receiving that as a gift of salvation. So it is a gift.
Yeah.
It's something that's a given, right?
You have to accept it, though.
You have to receive it, yes, exactly. Which the thief on the cross did.
Right.
And he wasn't taken back down, and he wasn't baptized, and he wasn't, you know, consecrated. He didn't have a priest, you know, do extra unction on him or whatever, wherever. He died that day, and he went to heaven that day. And Jesus said, he will join me in paradise today.
Right.
We can't forget these things. Yes.
That thief on the cross proclaimed Christ.
That's right. Lord, remember me. Mm-hmm. He basically was saying, Lord, save me. He knew who he was, capital L.
He was a testimony before the Roman soldiers.
Yeah.
And everybody who was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we can't forget the fact that before he said, remember me, he said to the other thief, yes, you and I deserve it. He knew he was innocent. That's good.
And in the coming to Christ, we have to realize that we deserve the death that he buried for us.
And that's true. That brings you to true repentance. Yeah. True repentance.
Okay. This rolls into Romans chapter 1 wonderfully. What a segue. Yeah. Right? We don't have time. And so next week we'll pick up on the same piece of paper. Read Romans chapter 1 and really put some time from 16 all the way. I have 21 there, but I would say go to the end of chapter 32. All right, because we're talking about salvation and really knowing sound doctrine. All right, sound doctrine. Because in these last days, a lot of people would have gotten upset and they would have walked away. Right? When the first question came up, a lot of folks would say, well, I don't believe, I ain't going to stand for that. And I was taught by Dr. So-and-so and such and such. Dr. Zeus said, the man in the streets. You know? But see, look at the fruit that has come out of just this little bit of time that we spent, because we slowed down, we discussed, we debated some things based on the Word of God.
Amen. I think this is missing in the church.
They looked to see if it was so.
We need to take it and pull it apart right here. I say we need more of this. This is more important than me up there.
Yeah.
All right?
I'll
absolutely tell you that right straight up. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love to preach. All right? But if it ain't teaching, then I'm just a... Well, if you do it without love, I know that. But really, there's a lot of folks up there that say a lot of words that... How many really remember what I say? Well, you do, just because you take notes. Sometimes, right? You know, well, you think about it. I've been doing this for 10 years, you know, preaching a little over an hour on Sunday, preaching on Wednesday, preaching on Sunday night, teaching men's groups, stuff like that. Out of all the millions and millions of words that I've said through the Scripture, how much really stuck?
Can I throw in an analogy here for a moment? We've all eaten like 3 meals a day for 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, it's however old we are. Do you remember what most of those meals were? No? But did it make us fat? Absolutely.
I was sticking on the hips,
so,
yeah.
You know, it's, we may not remember all of
yes.
it, but it has, you mm-hmm. know, it's helped us to grow.
Right, absolutely.
As I always say, I work hard to get through bodies and have overnight.
There you go. I traded in the 6-pack for a cake. You know?
In every situation that we go through, God has provided some kind of example for us in the Bible, no matter who it is, and so we can go back to
because there's nothing new under the sun.
And so, praise God! Another great beginning of a Bible study. All right.
It's sad to me because it's hungry for more. I got to sit here for 2 more hours and keep. There's so much.
Now, if we weren't expecting new people, because if we get like the influx of folks that fall apart and they come into the center of this conversation, it's going to, their minds are going to melt.
Right, yeah.
Right? And so unless you're here at the beginning, it's hard to get into the depth that we've gone. So now we have to quit or stop and change gears.
Yeah.
Not getting neutral, we're changing gears. Who wants to close in prayer?
I will.
Go ahead, sister.
Yeah.